This episode of the RMR Training Podcast is brought to you by Resolute Coffee. So if you've heard of Resolute Coffee and you've wanted to give it a try, but you're not sure where to start, I'm going to break it down for you. So if you like your coffee to be like a straightforward coffee taste, chocolatey, what you know traditionally as coffee, something clean and nice, what you're going to want to look for is the processing, and it's going to be washed. Wash takes all of the fruit off of the bean, so you're left with just a straightforward coffee bean. And then you get those straightforward flavors. If that's what you're looking for, the Black Condor from Resolute is for you. If you want something a little bit more exotic, something a little bit more fruit forward, something a little bit more unexpected, something a little bit more of an adventure in your cup, then you want to look at that process, and natural is going to be probably the most fun type of cup. You're going to get a lot more fruit forward flavors. Natural leaves a lot of that fruit from the coffee on the bean, so when you get the, so when you make the actual coffee itself, you get some of those fruit flavors. The natural Ethiopian, that's the bomb here. If you want something, some sort of blend of both, there's a hybrid processing called a honey process, which leaves some of the fruit onto the coffee bean. So it's like a natural, like a half and half type of natural and washed processing. The Aponte honey or any honey processing is going to be awesome for you. Whichever one you go with, it's going to be top quality stuff. RR20 at checkout for 20% off. Or if you want to try them all, they have the, you can join the Crush It Club and you get a variety of 5 bags and a mug. So check that out. Link down in the show notes. All right. Hello. Welcome to the RMR Training Podcast. Two super special guests here today. We are at the home of the camp, hybrid Colorado training camp, Camilla Massa, Luca Lorenzoni. Guys, I'm so pumped to be doing this. And we're in person.
Yeah. Hello. Hello.
We are pumped to be here too.
Yeah. Only the second podcast in English.
Yes. Camilla, ever.
Maybe the second.
You did one.
Yeah.
The same second for me. Also for you. No, you did another one.
Yeah, I mean.
The competitive edge, I think.
Yeah, the competitive edge.
That's the like parenting one or no?
Yes.
Very cool. So let's talk about how the camp started. Do you remember?
We were together.
We were all together then as well. Basically the same thing. Like we trained, an awesome garage setting. We're just sitting here and
Eating bison.
I was turned on the bison in that day. I don't think I told you guys, after the last camp in August, there was so many leftovers that I was like, I took it home and I ate bison like every day for like 2 weeks. And I think I went a little too long. After a while, I was like, I'm having a bit of a stomach ache now. But I was like, I'm using this bison. So we were eating bison, and Camilla, maybe it was your idea, like, hey, we could do camps or something.
Yeah, I always thought about the camp because the location is amazing and we have a lot of space. And yeah.
And we love the community.
Mm-hmm.
We were working out and we said, why not? Why not bring other people with our passion, with our values here together and have so much fun? And we said, like, if we can get people, good. If not, we're going to have fun anyway.
Like, right? Let's just try it.
Yeah, try.
I remember the idea just got kicked around, and Camille, you instantly grabbed like a notebook and were like, how are we going to do this? What day? what day is it going to happen? Can we make this all work? And Luca's like, hey, let's burn the ships.
Yeah.
We're going.
Yeah.
We're going.
We're
going
to make this happen.
And we were on the same page. And the worst case scenario was we can spend time together doing something that is good for our training, for spending time. And the good thing is that when you get together with people with the same value and a very close mindset, willing to work hard, something good always come out of it. So,
and that was really the main takeaway that I was blown away with the camps in general, of the people that did want to come and how it was very like-minded. And once we were here, the energy was just so positive and like one directional, right? Like everybody's wanted to kind of get the same thing out of it. It wasn't even like, hey, here's what we're doing this week. Here's what the expectations are. We didn't even have to do that. We just got here and it just started rolling both times.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, oh, we got lucky with a bunch of, like the second time was like, oh, this is the same thing.
Yeah.
Like,
same like feeling, same vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when we meet with the guys from the camp, we always think about the camp family, because it turned like that, we got a lot of friendship there.
Mm-hmm.
Not just between us, but also with the people that came to train with us.
We'll see them at the events, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people who met each other at the event, at the camp, at the events. It's like there's crowd support that's available to people, which, you know, I think is fairly unique for most athletes who are out there. It's probably people that take time away from their family. They're going there. Maybe they have a couple friends that they're racing with, or they're doing doubles. But to have people sitting there like cheering for you and like really have a vested interest in like your result because they know how much you care, that is something that I didn't even think about. I didn't even think that that could be an outcome.
How crazy is when we are at racing and you have to actually run all the time to follow everybody that is racing? Oh, yeah.
Like, you got crazy. Stan, there's John, and Cheryl's out here too. Yeah. And it's true. It's true. But it's a blast.
It's a blast.
And they've been doing well. Not to be like, oh, you come to this camp, you're going to excel. I mean, most of the people who are going to come have that like working drive mentality. They're going to get better no matter what.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. We hope that they can take some of the things that we talk about in the camp here and put it into their training, and they can help level them up. But we have seen lots of good results too.
Yeah.
And I also love our chats that are still active with all these two groups. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, the good thing about the camp is that we stay together 24 hours. So we can chat a lot. Work out a lot, stay together, go to the...
Share what...
what our experience.
How we eat, how we prepare for workouts, how we recover from workouts, and just like all of it, and not just like, here's the workout, that's it.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a bonding experience, and we're excited we're bringing it back.
Oh, yeah.
We are.
Back. Even bigger.
Even bigger. We're trying to get more people in, right? Last year, both times, it was 5 or 6 weeks notice that we kind of pushed it out there. Like, let's see what happens. And we had a great turnout. Now we have a little bit more time to kind of prepare for that.
So yes.
Mid-July, mid-August, maybe a September date. We got to figure
something
out.
Yeah, we have to figure it out. And maybe we are going to work on something in the winter.
Yeah. Potential
teaser. Don't say anything now.
Teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the things, so the camp, like, if you're interested in the camp, there's, make sure you're following us on social. We'll be pushing that stuff out there, and there'll be a link down in the show notes now for, like, an application just to kind of gather a little bit more information if you are interested in taking a look at that. One of the things at the camp that you guys put me on to was this idea of monitoring glucose in training.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been aware that there is, like, you know, the ability to have some sort of active glucose monitor that's usually on the back of your arm, whatever. It can be in a couple different places. Generally, it's for...
Yeah.
This technology is for type 1 diabetics.
Yes.
Right? So they can see where their sugar levels are and how they need to do that. Like how it... And that was a kind of eye-opening for me too. I learned a lot more about diabetics. I was like, your insulin doesn't work at all? That's crazy. Like, that is a crazy concept to me. But... luckily for us, ours does, but we can, so I actually tested out an active glucose monitor after you guys were talking about it so much. So what were some of the key takeaways that you took from that? Like, I guess, like, explain what the idea was behind finding that, because there's at least one company that's European-based,
Super Sapiens,
that is directed more toward athletes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The company I went through is US-based. It's called Levels, and it's more wellness. You know, I wouldn't say it's like, here's how to optimize yourself as an athlete. It's more like, here's information like that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the idea behind like trying to...
So basically, I don't remember if I found out about it, but when I found out about it,
we have to say you're a nerd.
About this.
You're
about
in the weeds. You're in the weeds on this.
Yeah.
So, first of all, this is the basics. That's
numbers and stuff like that.
Go ahead. From there.
But anyway, I don't remember how I found out. But when I did, I was trying, I immediately found out that they don't sell here.
Mm-hmm.
So I obviously found a way to get it anyway. And when I got it, I was very surprised because the contents and the educational material inside the app of the Super Sapiens is dope.
Really?
They can educate you from scratch, even if you don't know anything about glucose, glucose level.
And in a very easy way.
And in a very easy so everybody can understand. Tangible way. That product is awesome. I'm not sponsored by them, but I love it. So we found out very important information, but you can see the effect of the food that you are eating, how it affects your glucose level and your performance. Mm-hmm. So, for example, something very important for Camilla, you can say that, no? Mm-hmm. You can share what you find out. That you say that?
I don't know what you are talking
that,
about.
Your glucose level during the performance after 30 minutes was going so down.
Mm-hmm. So like you would do a HYROX workout and like basically how these things work, you just have it on, right? You're not checking it in real time. You're checking
you the can data check.
After.
Yeah.
You can check if you want.
For the race, they sell this kind of bracelet.
Huh. The band.
Connect to the... to the
device
sensor.
So they do have a real time
yes
mm-hmm. Wow
during the race huh. And there is it's very easy because there is this arrow. If you are in a linear path, the arrow is just parallel to the ground. Uh-huh. If your glucose level is getting higher, the arrow actually pointed it, and if it's going down,
same.
Pointed it the same.
So you can
you basically know when you have to take glucose.
So it starts dipping and be like, I need a gel right now.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Huh. Exactly. And what we found out, we knew that Camilla's performance was getting so worse after 30 minutes huh. of work. And when we saw that with the device, we could easily fix it. Because it wasn't just, it was also a training stuff because she wasn't an athlete. She didn't have a good aerobic engine. So it's normal. It's also connected with the training. Mm-hmm. But seeing that glucose level was at least something that we could work on to make easier to keep the same level of performance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was the most interesting part, I think, for her performance.
Yeah, but also something like eating rice half an hour before the competition make my glucose level come si dice?
steady
instead of getting the gel at 30 minutes.
I couldn't believe how like fruit would make my glucose spike like crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want to avoid, right?
Is which kind spike, of fruit?
Like a banana.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, banana,
crazy?
A lot. Okay. And like it was also interesting, right? If you'd go out and if I would go out and do some fasted cardio, seeing how that spiked, it's like, oh, my...
why? Yeah.
Yeah, like my body is releasing the
glucose. Yes, the glycogen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, because like, you have at least, not least, around 2,000 calories of power.
Between your muscles and
your liver.
Liver.
Yeah. And did you try the honey?
No, I didn't. Like, is that supposed to be a little bit lower? And like, this is all based around the glycemic index, right?
Yes, absolutely. And even if I thought that honey would have done a spike so high.
You would think
no,
so.
It's not that high. The index is not that high. So that's why honey is one of the best carbohydrates that you can take before, during, and after.
It also depends from person to person.
Oh, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But the glycemic index of the food is the same.
And a lot of that has to do with...
But you can respond in a different way.
Like the structure of the sugar, right?
Yeah.
Like the monosaccharide.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
And there's like three, four different strands and like a honey might be mono or whatever. Right?
And something that is very interesting to me is also that you find out and you see some little tricks that you can use to cook rice and potatoes to lower their the index, mm-hmm. Okay? So if you need to take rice and sweet potatoes before a workout, you want to eat them reheated, already cooked.
It's been cold. It's been
cold and you can
cooked,
eat it.
Cooled
exactly.
And then reheated.
Exactly. And the index change.
Or you could just eat it cold too.
Yeah, you can. You can, absolutely. Same. Same thing.
Yeah.
If you want to have something with a higher index after the workout, for example, that is something that can be very good for you, you don't need to cook, mm-hmm. get it cold, and eat it. You can just make it fresh. And so you can find out what you need and how you need it. And I think it's very interesting.
I mean, it's a great step to take to gather information that is within your control.
Mm, right.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Like it's akin to having like heart rate data, right? Like mm-hmm. following a path, seeing like sitting it here and seeing how that changes over time, but just taking it another step further in that nutrition. That's something that just, it's low hanging fruit mm-hmm. and it's something that can go a long way because at least it can give you those strategies, right? Like end up hearing a lot of more like kind of questions and how to kind of manage these races that are now in the afternoon. A lot of people are racing at like 3, 4, 5, 8 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
So having this type of stuff has been, that's a good way to understand like what's actually going to happen. How have you guys done with the later?
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No. Also because it's very boring to wait all day doing almost nothing.
See, I like that part.
Yeah?
I like the chilling.
You like it?
I just like, I don't have anything to do today. I'm just going to sit here.
I can't wait to race from the...
We are all different. To me, because Camilla always races before me, I'm drained. When I have to start,
true.
I remember in Chicago.
Yeah.
And do you remember in Milan that I forgot to eat? And I started the race and I was almost passing out because I forgot to eat all day.
Something feels wrong.
And then
here.
I started like, after the pool, I was, I'm going to die.
In Chicago, well, that was different, right? That was, we were kind of in the middle of the day. In Chicago.
You guys.
You were.
But I raced at 7.
Super late.
Super late.
Crazy late. Where in Vienna and in DC, you were the next day.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Which is still, it's still like being up and walking around.
No, but
it's
this was okay.
Like, it's better.
That's I don't complain. Yeah. So much better.
Yeah.
What have you done nutritionally then for...
Yeah, it's another thing that you have to manage the whole day. So it's not just the breakfast at that point. Right. You have to manage... All the other nutrition, so it's not easy, because for me, for example, I need at least 2 hours after I ate my last meal to race. For you, Luca,
so much more.
Yeah. More.
Do you remember that I told you in Washington that I wasn't feeling okay with my stomach because I ate just.
Oh right,
hours.
Right. So now
wasn't
enough time.
Not enough.
So is this 3 hours before, and Camilla, 2 hours before the race starts or before warm up starts?
Warm up
probably. Yeah. So actually 3 and 4 plus.
Yeah, but
probably 4 for me.
When we're home, when we work out, I can eat and work out. Right. I mean, it depends what I eat, but if I eat
a banana,
I can work out right after.
I think the most important thing for the people to know is that if you want to eat very close to your workout, training, race, avoid fats.
Mm-hmm.
No fat.
Takes a long time.
Yeah.
And also, a little bit of protein.
Yeah.
The best way to go, obviously, is carbs.
And that's like a little tricky just because it's just not as satiating. You know, you're just like that. For me, it's like, all right, I'm going to eat. Because I'm about 3 hours is enough, but I'll try to play it a little more safe. Mm-hmm. So then I could like supplement with like a Morton gel or a honey or whatever.
Sure.
Something that give me a little bit to top off. But when it's just like white bread with like jelly on it or something, like I'm just hungry.
Yeah. No, that's why in the meal that you have 3 hours before or 4 hours before, you can eat protein, fats. Don't go crazy. Yeah, don't go crazy.
But like a little bit.
You are racing, so you want to feel very light and okay. But until that time frame, you're fine with also the other macronutrients.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you want to tip off, like you said, go with carbs.
Mm. Yeah, I still try to keep it pretty simple the full day, like something
super simple and nothing new.
Nothing new.
That's
tough sometimes to travel though.
Right? Yeah,
sometimes like, right, the continental breakfast, like
especially I would say especially in Europe, because in Europe you don't have microwaves ever.
Yeah,
in the hotel room.
Yeah, but I heard that like Lauren Weeks, she packs. It's the right word.
Yeah, I think
a
so.
Lot of stuff. Like she brings rice and proteins.
But
and
if
bars.
You have the microwave, it makes sense. That's why I heard a podcast, I think I don't remember which, probably Running Public podcast. She was talking about it.
Yeah.
And she was like, I couldn't use it because they didn't have microwaves.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And like that's been, that's what I have not liked about racing in Europe. I mean, we've only done it twice, but just like, one, you know, I'm not speaking the language. And I don't really know how to navigate the cities that well. So it's all extra stuff. But then, yeah, the food has just been a problem. Like trying
it, is. It is a real problem.
And also because the grocery store, they close very early compared to here.
In some place. And when I was in Spain, I was like, everything was so late. I was like, this is crazy trying to get food anywhere. It's like, nah, we're closed between this, but at dinner time, we're open later.
And they have dinner so late.
It's so late. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, so that actually has been a struggle. Do you find the same, like if Europeans came here, would it be the same type of, or because we just like to eat out here? That
I honestly think that here you have so many choices. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that here in restaurants you eat better than in Europe. I'm not saying this. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that if we speak about choices, we can have a grocery store open pretty much everywhere. You can find a lot of food also on a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
That you can't in Europe.
Yeah.
So that part is easier. And I also think that traveling there for the jet lag is worse than traveling here.
You like lose a whole day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're up like a full night.
The worst case scenario here is that you wake up early.
Right.
The worst case scenario there, and I know that case scenario very well because I used to travel so much for working, and I had to wake up early in the morning to start working and teaching, and it was a pain because with the jet lag there, you don't fall asleep until 5 in the morning. At least me. Camilla, she doesn't have any problem.
I don't have any problem.
No. You could just sleep? You could just fall asleep on that?
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
And like stay asleep the whole night?
Yeah, because when I got in an airplane, I sleep.
Oh, you can sleep in the airplane.
Like the whole flight.
I'm so jealous. You know that we travel
a lot.
Yeah, you guys.
And she always sleep.
Well, I guess you can. After a while, you just figured it out.
Yeah.
I hope.
I can sleep everywhere.
Do you have any other strategies like going from traveling east, like that many time zones? Like, or is it just a matter of getting sleep as quickly as possible?
As I told you, for me, it's not a big deal. Because
she's talented.
That's crazy.
She's a talented sleeper.
The whole time I was in Austria, I didn't sleep one night well in Austria at all. I was there for like 5-6 nights and I was just like miserable every day because of
the
it.
Same.
Yeah. I was like, I wish that was a fun trip, but it wasn't because I was exhausted the whole time. Mm. Well, good for you.
Yeah, this is one of my talents.
You will never use that as an excuse.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, the jet lag. Nope.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we have that advantage then. Yeah, you have that excuse Camilla, ready. No, not for you.
You can't.
So, Camilla, you're in an interesting spot now. Luca is qualified for Worlds in two age groups now.
Yes,
wherever you want to race, you can
I'm
race.
I'm going with the oldest one. With the older one.
You're the young guy out there, the up and comer, yes, coming exactly. In the 45 to 49. And I just punched my ticket that I...
That was
you.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was so happy for you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You guys have support around that corner.
I was pumped to see you.
Keep me in
it. And when I told you, you're 30 seconds, and no, I remember after the lunges that I was worrying about you because Colin is good
He's
at
good.
This. Mm. So I wasn't worried about Lucas. Nothing against Lucas. Mm. I like the guy so much, but
he just put
I
it all
saw,
out there.
Yeah.
He was
hanging
on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we know you. So
And we know you, and but I know Colin and his wall balls.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh. I know. I was thinking about that throughout
but
the
still,
race, too. Yeah.
You would have been in third. Then Graham show up, and we didn't expect that, but fortunately...
I know.
Yeah. But I remember that after the lunge, he said, you got it. And you were like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah. So you were like, unbroken wall balls. I was like, yeah, for sure. And then 40, and I was like, I'm tired. I can't.
Yeah. That's the good tight one.
I can't do it. But Camilla, you have the last chance qualifier. This is the mm-hmm. first time we've seen a last chance qualifier for the system, which is actually like, it's nice to have it, right? And especially because it's on U.S. soil now, where they were saying, what? Singapore or something
or
in the beginning
Hong Kong
of the year,
or something like that.
Something crazy. And it kind of moves your timeline up. We get what we said, 8-9 weeks from right now.
Yeah.
8-9 weeks from right yeah. now. Yeah. So I guess what are you guys doing? What's the prep like? What do you take away? Because you had an interesting season, like coming in the best shape that you've ever been in, right?
Yeah.
Off of a DECA
season. And then yeah. I broke my finger.
Off of a DECA season, a world championship yeah. at DECA Champs and DECA Strong. Podium in the mile, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then fourth and fit.
Yeah.
And so coming in with good momentum. And then, yeah, in the first 50 meters of the race.
Yeah, I broke the finger before the DECA, a month before.
Oh my God, that's
right. Yeah, in Chicago.
That was Chicago. That's completely different. Oh my, yeah. My timeline screwed up. Oh, right. So you did that all with a broken finger.
Yeah, and that 2 months, because after I broke it, I couldn't do much.
Right.
Also in the running and in the strength, of course, because I had the splint.
Because your hand, it probably still hurt running, right? Like just like the pain.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. And also I couldn't raise my heart rate.
Just the blood flow into yeah. that area would just kind of like throb.
Right. So I mean, it was tough months, but I couldn't miss the World Championship for DECA. So then I got surgery after the World Championship.
He's interested. To tell the story, I was there with the doctor after Chicago. We went immediately. We were here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. We went immediately and they took x-ray.
Also because you didn't trust me that I really broke the finger.
No, don't say that. Don't say that. Like you put these words outside and no. At the first lap, she told me. I broke my finger during the race.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay.
You're good. You're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Like, probably she hurt something because I saw blood then.
Yeah.
I said, okay, probably she hit the fence or something like that. It's not broken. But yeah, no. After the race, when I saw that finger, it was definitely broken. And it was a bad fracture. When we were to the doctor, the x-ray picture was bad. Like bad. The doctor said, we need to do surgery immediately. And she was like, nope.
I can't.
I'm not doing the surgery now. And so I'm not asking what I have to do. I'm asking to help me to do what I want to do.
Mm.
That was the statement, the Camilla statement with the doctor.
Like,
And they were like, okay. And so we kept being positive and believe that the finger didn't impact the training so much. We stay positive, but honestly,
it did.
Yeah, it had to have.
Yeah, and after the surgery, there were another 3 weeks without doing. I don't say nothing, but
biking, walking.
Because it had to be really painful after that. And
yeah,
like were you immobilized? Like, how was it? Was it?
I had muscular gesso. The cast until the elbow.
Oh, wow.
So I couldn't do much. So, yeah, it was 3 weeks like that, and then other 3 or 4 weeks.
With another cast after the surgery.
So more than 2 months without doing anything in the upper body and very low intensity.
And so that was from...
From the end of November.
End of November.
After DECA.
Okay.
Yeah, and the month before, after Chicago,
yeah,
wasn't very...
The training was limited, but you were able to run after a couple of weeks of the surgery. Yeah, so we tried to be positive and just show that she was ready.
Yeah, you know? For sure at this level of competition, if you miss... something, you're gonna pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're just not feeling like you're completely prepared. Because I mean, you could be optimistic, and I'm sure looking back now, you're probably like, oh, like we just weren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
But in those moments, you try to like summon it.
Yeah.
But there's like hope involved, and it's just not gonna go well.
Yeah.
I was punched in the face in Vienna for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Everything happened for a reason, because I had that click, that fire in me. Mm. And yeah, now I'm training like never before. So that's good. I'm going to see where I'm at in Anaheim. And I'm pretty sure I'll be in Nice. So yeah, I'm pretty positive.
So what was the click moment, right? Like a result that you weren't necessarily happy with. Like, what did that do? Like, what was the thing that you're then started to like elevate the mindset, elevate the...
Honestly, in Vienna, the worst thing was the feeling during the Irox, because and I had to race the next day to, you know, change that feeling, because I felt miserable. I felt like I didn't have fun. I didn't like it, and yeah, so I had to finish it because I had to finish it, not because I was in the fight. So I didn't like that at all, the very first time in my Hyrox career. And yeah, I decided that it's not going to happen anymore.
I want to say something about Camilla. I know that I love her. So maybe I'm not that objective, but you are awesome. Like, she raced after Vienna. We were miserable. We got in a fight during that night because we both were mad.
Pissed, yeah.
And pissed and off.
Like, you guys organize your training together.
Yes.
You train together. Like, it's like it's a team.
Mm-hmm. I think that Vienna performance was on me, mainly.
So you came out of it also feeling not great.
No, I felt like shit, if I can say shit in the podcast.
And already did.
Yeah.
And I had to tell Kent and Meg to stop swearing the other day.
Yeah, so. Because I saw some, because I'm a number guy, I saw some very, very good numbers in Camilla performance. And I have to say that one of our staple workout before a race is half Irox. And before Vienna, in the same conditions, Camilla beat her PR for more than 1 minute. And I did the same. So we were both in shape, in shape for a short event. And also, the 10 days leading to Vienna, because I saw all these big numbers on Camilla, and because something crazy to me happened, like we did a time trial before the surgery. When she could start running again after the surgery, we did the same trial and she was faster. And I was like, you didn't run for 2 weeks and you are faster. So maybe your body works well like
you're
that.
You're recovered now.
Yeah. Maybe. So in the 10 days, we were so busy visiting family, doing business and always being in the car. We trained actually 2 times.
So you figured to kind of take that model. It's like maybe these like extra, like this is the way we can taper.
I thought that.
Which is like there was evidence, kind of.
Yeah.
It's worth a shot.
Obviously.
Not before a major, maybe.
And, yeah, exactly.
Now we know.
And yeah. I didn't take in consideration all the mice in the car, all the food in restaurants, all these elements. We learned a lot, but I felt it was on me.
And this was kind of the plan. You're like, hey, remember this time trial, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We're just going to do a shorter version of that.
Yeah. It wasn't the plan, but because life happens, I wasn't worried
about it.
Yeah, I wasn't stressed about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, okay, it is what it is. You're going to do great. So after the race, I was very sad and I felt guilty. And she was like, I don't know if I am that level. She was sad because Camilla always acts like that. After a failure, she is pissed and she doubted herself for the first hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know it. And I don't want to even convince her.
Yeah.
Just gotta, leave me alone. Yeah. Just gotta sit in my depression.
Yeah. And after 3 hours, she's like, I'm going to be back.
We're okay.
Yeah. And so now I know. Okay. Yeah. But... I had to race the day after and we got in this fight and we slept probably 3 hours before my race. But I didn't care anything about that race, to be honest. I'm racing for fun and I start racing and I did pretty okay, even if I was tired. And at the end of my race, she walked to me and she's like, what do you think if I race now? And I'm like, seriously? And she's like, I need it. I need to change the feeling. And I think that this is brave. This is, I mean, I'm proud of you. And you did it also with the Goruk after DC, because in DC we wanted a total different outcomes. But science, you cannot change in 3 weeks your fitness that much.
And the race was better in DC.
Yeah, it was. But after Vienna, everything changed. Her mindset changed.
In the mindset, for sure. Also in the training.
Yeah, especially in the training. And because what I see on you is that before Vienna, she trained because she had to train.
Mm-hmm. There was a workout to do on the plan.
You have to.
Yeah.
Right? Now she wants to. Now she has purpose. Now is different. And I can see that, and I'm proud of that, and I see the results. So I have the feeling that in Anaheim, we are not going to see her just qualifying, but doing a good statement.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I'm not saying the goal. Don't worry, she touched me. My legs say, shut the fuck up.
That's in-house. So what's changing the training then? Like the mindset went came along then at the training is the next piece. Like what are you guys up to? What are you thinking is needing to change or what you like?
For sure the volume. Because I saw Megan at the camps and you know, she is like
she's always working out. She's a volume monster. She can handle a lot of stuff.
Yeah. When we were doing breakfast, she already running from an hour or two at the camp. So, right. Yeah, and I was thinking, okay, this is Megan. She's
been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Right. She's been training to some capacity. She may have been training for Hyrox, but she's been doing stuff
for
a long time.
Yeah. And at that point, I was training like the most 2 hours a day, maybe most of the days, 1.5.
So would it be 10 to 12 hours a week, which is still like pretty good.
Yeah.
Still like good volume.
Yeah. Maybe not enough for me and not enough to race with these superhumans.
Yeah. Because people do. I mean, I'm sure Lauren does a lot of volume. And like,
yes.
This sport seems to be, he seems to respond well to volume in this sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Dylan Scott to the world, right?
And this is something that I don't have from my background.
Right.
So this is something I have to work on. So the volume is definitely a thing that has changed. Like now we are set on 3.5 a day.
So you're getting
not every day.
Is it like 15 plus hours a week now?
Yeah, at least.
It's a lot.
And obviously with this programming, the loading weeks are so important. Mm-hmm. For the health.
Because that's something that if you're going to be hitting it that hard, the sustainability is just shrinks down so much more. So yeah, like planning weeks to pull things back.
Sure.
And actually executing on those, right? That's important too. Because sometimes I'll just get in the routine of it. And I'm just like, I'm killing it. Until like I'm not, you know? So like I don't want to take deload weeks because I'm like, I'm fine. But that's just because I'm just like in my like myopic. I'm just like here in that space. So like taking those deload weeks and like executing them isn't always that easy.
No, yeah. I agree. And the recovery part also is very important and always is pretty much boring and, you know, but you have to do
recovery, like mobility stuff, mobility, like active
sauna,
recovery.
Active recovery, foam rolling, the boots that we have and we never used. We have everything here and we barely use because we don't have time.
It is boring.
Yeah. It is boring. So we have to figure it out a routine to integrate all this stuff while we are doing other stuff because we have to work also. We have 6 kids combined.
You're traveling all over the place.
So we are trying to do the best we can.
But I'm doing better day by day. I put the mobility in the plan. Mm. So yeah, another thing that really changed is the mindset.
Mm.
Because as you were telling before, before Vienna, he was giving me the, you know, the workout and I knew that I have to finish it, you know. But now every little workout has a purpose. So every workout, I know my numbers, I know where I have to be, I know that I have to do better than the day before. So the mindset really, really changed everything.
I found sometimes even just like the intention leading in can change
the outcome.
Efficacy of the workout.
Yeah.
Right? Like if I'm locked in and like I'm actually hyping myself up as opposed to like, all right, now here's what I do after I warm up and whatever, I'm just going to start. If I'm like really lasered in, like taking the steps that I would take maybe before a race, even like certain music, certain nutrition, like, and just being there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that also takes energy to do, right? It's like a little bit more effort to be like, it's like, do I really need to hype myself up for this? And it's like, if you want a better like outcome in this workout, like it's worth it.
At least once a week. Yeah.
For sure.
The best case scenario is twice a week because on the quality days, and you are doing also very well on this. And from my side, I see a very different athlete when I see him. And also our approach is different. So before Vienna, we always did the same workouts. After Vienna, I look at myself in the mirror. I was, as I said, very mad at myself. And I had this talk with Camilla. I said, listen, you want to be the best in the world. I can't be, even if I want, is not my priority.
Mm.
But I can't do what you have to do.
Mm.
So I stepped back from my athlete role, still working hard and almost 3 hours a day. For me, that is not something super common. But yeah, now I can say, I'm done. You keep going. And before Vienna, I was like, if I'm done, I have to make her stop too.
Hmm.
It was that just this.
You guys were like training partners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now, no. Now we are not training partners. At least sometimes we are. But now the goal is totally different. She is different. And this is something that you have to do if you want to compete with Meg, with Lauren, with all these amazing athletes. So I can't wait to see Anaheim, but also we are enjoying the process.
Mm-hmm. That's very important too.
Yeah.
Because like, if you hate the process, it's going to be very painful.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to like the race, right? Yeah. Like, it's like you're not going to get where you want to go.
Yeah. And I don't want to say that I want to work out every day with, you know, there's a lot of days that I don't want to work out like today. We did the Hyrox. But I know that it's very helpful. Especially in those days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then the Anaheim is 8 weeks. Volume is up. Deload weeks are going to be in there. Are you guys doing the same type of quality work?
We are.
Or is that volume up as well? Or how's that kind of?
So we are progressively loading more.
Uh-huh.
Then I have a schedule in mind in which we will cut the volume of the quality days and we will raise the intensity. So right now we are in a progression. If you want me to share the first week, we just finished today the third week of the cycle.
Mm.
The first week on Monday, on Tuesday and Saturday are our quality days. We double on Tuesday and it depends on Saturday. This Saturday, we are not going to double.
Mm.
That's it. You are done for today.
Thank you.
The first two Saturday, we doubled. So the first Tuesday, we were doing threshold intervals, 6x5 minutes with 90 seconds rest, walking.
You do this on the track or wherever, doesn't matter?
Track.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the point. When we are in Colorado, we always love to use the track.
Uh-huh.
When we are in Florida, we don't like to do the speed on concrete and on humidity, hot weather. So we use the treadmill.
Mm-hmm. The motorized treadmill.
Yes, motorized treadmill.
Yeah.
We don't have the assault runner in Florida.
I think that the the motor powered one's better for something like threshold stuff anyway.
I agree. Also because you can put the, especially if you work can do with the negative split.
Right. Yeah.
And you get a little bit more of the pounding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more realistic.
Exactly. And so the first Tuesday was 6x5 with the 90-second rest. In the afternoon, we did, actually was the opposite. In the morning was this one. But anyway, we did a little bit of compromise running. We did 600 meters run, 500 ski, 600 meter run, 500 row rest, long rest, 5 minutes rest. Repeated this for 3 times.
So the intensity is pretty high then?
Yes.
With the 5 minute rest?
Yes. Yeah. Overpacing the run and the machines.
Ugh, it's probably rough.
Yeah. That's why you need long rest. So we work those angles on Tuesday. The second Tuesday of the second week was different. So basically the first week was 30 minutes of threshold work.
Mm.
The second week was 4x8 this time, 8 minutes, with 2 minutes rest, same kind of rest. So we had 2 minutes of work. And in the afternoon, we did the same workout that I mentioned before, but the run was the same, 600 meters. We raised the machine work. So we did 750 instead of 500.
Ideally at the same pace?
Yes, exactly. So progressively trying to reach the pace that you want to reach. Actually, obviously, in that workout, as I said, we are overpacing. This week was tough. Was on Tuesday was 4x10.
That's a
minutes.
Work.
That's a lot.
With 3 minutes rest. And I was impressed with the first three that she did. I did just three, not four.
3x10.
She did the fourth one, even if she wanted to quit so much. But she still keeping a good pace, I guess, especially at altitude.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy with that she's doing. And this is Tuesday.
That's a serious workout. Yeah, that was one of my key workouts for DECA in 2022. I was like, if I can get to...
I remember you mentioned this in a podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like I circled it. I was like, if I can do 4x10 at whatever this pace is, I don't think anybody else could do this specific workout. Because for me, like the longer grinds like that is something I would just like not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I started out with 2 or 3 minute intervals and built up to 10 over the course of the time. So that's a serious workout.
It is also mentally tough.
It's just so long.
Yeah, I think it's so useful for IROX.
I think so. Yeah.
So useful.
Sitting in that discomfort and just grinding away. Like, yeah, 10 minutes.
I mean,
when you have to start, you say, okay, it's just for 10 minutes. I can do it. But when you're there
Minute of it, you're like, oh my God. Like you're like, it's like, do I space out here? That's serious.
And I think that also the progression that we did on Saturday was very helpful to get to the point in which we are able to do 4x10. Because on Saturday, the work was 15 minutes. Rest, 5 minutes jogging.
Mm.
12 minutes. Rest, 5 minutes jogging. 10 minutes.
Mm.
So 37 minutes total.
Of run.
Threshold.
Okay. So that's the first Saturday of the week. The second Saturday was the same. The third Saturday was this one, and we did a simulation.
Gotcha.
And it was very interesting because the simulation, we wanted to break 1 hour on the total HYROX with the salt runner, but splitting in three pieces. So basically the first three stations and then the other three and the last two. That's pretty much it about the qualities. The next week is going to be a recovery week. And on Tuesday, we are going to do 4x5 minutes with 2 minutes rest.
Just crank up the pace a little bit.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. And on Saturday, I honestly don't know yet. I have to see how she reacts. My plan now is to make her do the famous time trial that she did after the surgery, because I'm very curious about what she can do in is 8K.
Well, this will be interesting too, because like the volume piece and seeing how you will perform off of the volume, Because you're still going to carry some fatigue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like, but if that is something that you can then take leading into a race, be like, okay, we can race well of high volume, or it's like you need more recovery time. So sure. It's a good idea to have a time trial.
Yeah. I had the same thought.
Yeah. I think that's what they would call a top down, right? Where you're starting big volume and then kind of working your faster speed into the threshold pieces anyway. Are you going to still try to get back up to like the 10?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But we did. We will. Okay. At least once that, not at least, we will do it once again before Anaheim.
Nice.
Congrats. Yeah. You're happy for me, right?
You just got it done and you're like, got to do it again another time.
In the same conditions.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, the weather is going to be a condition that we cannot check control. And other than that, I would say that we try to do any time we do these intervals, we try to apply the negative split theory.
Mm.
So to get faster each time, which with a treadmill is easier,
mm-hmm.
and we can always make it. On the track, is not that easy.
It's not. Also because 10 minutes are long. So you cannot really manage the pace.
Right, like and really know until like the very end or something.
Right.
Like see, yeah.
Are you following heart rate on this or are you just following pace?
Now I'm following pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are working on both. Like, I try to make her stay under, at least for the first two intervals.
Under
her threshold level. But still, you know, the heart rate monitor, they are not that reliable. So
it's like if it's consistent, you're like, all right, I have a general idea, but you still need to take like your pace, your RPE, and how that's all working.
Yeah, I did one time at the track, and it was like not very accurate because I did it was a mile?
No, it was the 30 minutes.
30 minutes. But I felt like I could run forever. Mm. So it wasn't accurate at all.
Yeah, so she
you
was
were following your heart rate in 30 minutes and it was undershooting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the pace was, I think, was
411
kilometers.
For 30 minutes. But I wanted her to stay on that heart rate to give her the feeling of working at 90%. Mm. But at the end, she said, no, I wasn't 90%. And I'm like, okay, you have to learn how to manage also without the heart rate because sometimes it's not reliable.
Right. Like there's factors too. There's like physiological factors and whatever. Like, but I found that too. Like I'll go back and forth, especially with like the athletes who I'm coaching. Sometimes I'll always start everybody at RPE just so they have a general idea. Because going into a high rocks, it's like your pace isn't going to mean anything. Your heart rate's going to be all over the place. But if you can like stick like an 8 out of, if you know what that feels like, you're going to be better off. But at a certain point, like the intensity, if you want to really ramp that up, like I found pace to be a little bit better. Because then you kind of squeeze it, you know. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, all right, here's the pace I want to start at. And then having targets along the way, your heart rate will change like a little bit throughout that. But probably not as much as... at least when I do it, as much as I would think it would.
Sure.
You know, so that's a good way to kind of really tighten it.
I agree.
On the intensity piece.
I agree.
Hmm. Yeah. Nice.
So, what about you?
So some of the key things that I'm going to put in this block, I have most of it written out. I have like the concepts kind of written out on how I want to follow it. I'm actually going to do more strength and adding a strength day in. I think that's just like an area that I can improve on. And I want to keep my intensity on my compromised running days, on like the station work days.
How many compromised running day are you?
This week I only did one day of that. I'll probably stretch it to two in the last like 6 weeks. And then maybe like the double session days where some of it will be like two compromised running days. Like it'd be like the first four stations in the morning and then like the last four stations, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And with that work, I want that work to be the running. I want that to kind of be an anaerobic threshold into stations and not worry so much about like how sustainable I'm going to be for this workout and just worry about like the intensity, right? Like seeing how I'm feeling when I'm like ramped up going into a station. In the past, where it's very much like volume, get the volume in, hit the stations well, manage the run. Now I just want to be like, let's try to peg this effort and just then kind of start stitching it together, right? So like starting at like like the workout I did this week is the first week of my block. It was just 1,000 meter run, 1,000 meter ski, rest. You know, 1,000 meter run, sled push, rest. And then I'll start stitching those together and then try to kind of like expand it out and try to keep the intensity up as it goes through.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's, okay. That's
also
the way.
For us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, I've always been kind of tentative of pushing my run where like if I'm running on a track or whatever, just like a road path, like I know I can hang doing however much volume at like a certain pace, where if on my Hyrox days, I would just be like a little tentative, you know? Mm-hmm. But now I'm just going to try to press into it and see what happens.
You have to.
You have to.
Because you don't want to race to get top five or, yeah, I mean,
and the way
you have to play your card.
Everybody's fit, right? And now it's about if like hanging in there for the full hour as opposed to 30 minutes of the back.
You know what was very useful? I don't remember which episode you talk about, but you talk about something very interesting, and I share immediately with her when you said that you were working to make the Hyrox feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
And
it's impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah. And you have to be just at the same level on uncomfortability, but be faster.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, like there is, coming from like a traditional endurance background, it's like there's a bit of comfort in it because there's so much rhythm, right? It's just like managing is huddle line. And when it gets to that point, like hopefully you have enough to finish it out. So there's like some comfort in there. There's no comfort.
No. And this 1 hour.
Yeah.
Just 1 hour.
Just 1 hour, man.
I'm going to start biking a little bit more. I got a bike trainer, cycling. I was thinking about getting the C2, but the wife was like, dude, there's too much stuff in this garage. So the bike trainer is a little easier to fold up. And then I can actually have a bike. Do you guys have like actual bikes? Like,
yes, I show you on the downstairs.
Yeah.
I have the trainer and a very cool bike that was
a
my
road
dad's.
Bike? Oh, no way.
A road bike. Yeah, I gave him, because he was a... He loved to ride the road bike, and so I gave him as a gift this amazing bike. Super. And when he passed away, I shipped that bike from Italy, because anytime I bike that bike, I feel closer to my dad.
Yeah.
So it's in the basement. I show you.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see it. Yeah, because I'm looking at that a little bit more. I think I'm going to get a gravel bike just so I can kind of ride it
yes,
around, and the gravel trails around.
And that's very fun. But be careful. You see what happened to Hunter?
I heard about it, yeah.
Yeah?
That was like a mountain bike, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, exactly. You are talking about not a mountain bike?
It's like kind of an in-between. It'd be like, you know, like
the one with the...
little thicker, but like it's kind of like an in-between a bike. It's like not meant to go down these gnarly mountains. It'd be like, you know, the gravel trails. It would be like...
It's similar to a road bike.
It's like an in-between.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to do mountain.
Okay.
I'm scared of mountain bike.
No.
Just not
I thought that you were talking about mountain bike.
Yeah. No. And like, yeah, if I was even, I probably won't even get out on the bike outside until after the season anyway. I'm not trying
not
to.
Right.
No, it's not something.
With cars and stuff.
No. I'm not skilled enough.
You don't want to mess with that.
No. So I'll just stick on the trainer. I found that's just like a great way just to isolate muscular endurance. Like with the assault bike, everything is just like, you just gassed too quick. So I was actually a workout I did yesterday. I did just like 5 by 1,000 at like, it's probably like it's anaerobic threshold. It's beyond my anaerobic threshold. Probably more like 10K pace is what I was doing on the track. So it's like the intensity is a little bit ramped up, but it's not like all the way ramped up. Just with like a minute of recovery in there. So the volume's not crazy, but the intensity is a little bit higher. I seem to respond pretty well to that kind of running. But then the afternoon I just did like 5 minutes, and I told you I got that functional threshold power test on the bike. So I have like an idea of where my zones are now. So I was like, I'm going to do 5 minutes at the 4 rounds, 5 minutes at FTP, and then 500 meters on a machine. Right. And my legs were just blown to pieces.
Yeah.
I could still kind of repeat it, you know, because I'm not taking on the damage.
Do you ever use the assault bike before a sled pushing session?
Not with any regularity.
Yeah, I think that's very...
It's a great way to get
compromising.
Tired. very compromising.
In 30 seconds, you are ready to be bad and push the sled.
I use it more in DECA, obviously. But like even like DECA, I'll go real hard and then like do any station, you know, just to be like kind of in that oxygen debt so fast.
Do you have any plans for DECA?
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Not yet.
I mean, probably we're not in August.
Yeah, maybe August or September. Let's see.
Yeah.
Nothing before. Yeah.
Yeah, the Pennsylvania one is August, I believe.
Yeah, I think
there's going to be one in Colorado also.
Yes.
It's like two weeks before Worlds.
Yeah.
It's like Memorial Day weekend. So, and also, that would work. Just suck.
Yeah. I think, altitude.
I think it'd be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know how fast of a time.
No, definitely is not a good place to get a time.
No. They had one here 2 years ago, I think.
Yes. And was there? It was amazing because it was inside the practice court of the Broncos. The environment and the venue was awesome. Obviously, it was very slow because you were running.
And on turf.
Yeah.
And at altitude. If also is not enough.
You were pushing the sled on the turf. You were doing everything on
the slow way.
Yeah,
for sure.
But it was very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you done a strong or mile or anything?
Yeah, we did a strong.
Yeah, we did a strong and we actually won money.
What?
Yeah, it was the first strong alive in Florida. Uh-huh. In Bradenton, it was the first event with money for strong.
For the double.
What? There was money for everybody.
The gym provided the money.
Yes.
Bubble was there. He won the individual. I got third. And Camilla won $500.
Whoa.
And then we won the double, $500. So $1,000 for, yeah.
That was awesome. Event. They're like the best affiliate like in the country.
I don't know, but they are fantastic.
They are amazing. Yeah. They also have an amazing community, amazing people. And
What is it called again?
Live Training Center,
and that's
Palmetto,
north, right?
Palmetto in Florida. Yeah,
20 minutes from our house. Where in Florida.
Okay, so it's that close. Oh, nice.
It's that close.
Cool.
And we went with the kids. People from our church are there. Amazing.
Yeah, that's cool. So no, I don't have any fit, or I have no plans for DECA. They need to announce the worlds. I'm like using that as my excuse for like planning, but we know it's going to be like November or December. Or
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to be there this time.
This time
I'm not going to work. So
I heard San Diego rumor. Have you guys heard anything?
Yeah. I didn't
San
Diego? Hear anything.
I love San Diego.
That'd be great.
San Diego. I love San Diego.
Hard for the East Coast people to come.
Yes. Well,
2 years ago I was in AC, which was terrible. So, Dallas makes sense, middle of country, but, yeah. I think we can wrap it up.
Yeah.
Great chatting with you guys.
Great
being
chat.
Here at the camp location. It's beautiful. I keep looking up. I see cars coming down. I think it's going to be like a mountain lion. At the corner of my eye. I'm like, oh my God, what's that? We're going to make a couple posts in the next couple weeks, opening up some applications for camps. We've about half the spots are sold, and it's a lot of people who were here last time. So it's a testament to what
the quality.
Experience and the quality that people had when they came to the camp. And we'll drop a link in the show notes there. You guys want to plug your socials quick?
For sure.
So what did you say?
Social media.
Social media on Instagram, lucalorenzoni.lab.
For motivation for in Italian.
Yes, sometimes I put English caption.
Oh, is that right?
Because people from the camp ask me and I'm doing. But the bad thing is that when I put English captions, the algorithm or something, they don't push my reels as
really.
Yeah.
Oh, because so, maybe the demographic, they'll be like, well, this isn't gonna work.
I don't know, but the numbers are down when when I put English caption. But I keep doing it sometimes, not always, because I love my American and English speaking friends. But it's okay.
Yeah, for me, Camilla Massa athlete. And yes, make sure to get your spot for the camp, guys. Yeah.
It's going to be epic.
It's going to be epic for sure.
And wear Reebok, right?
Yes.
Check out Reebok stuff.
We are going to have a lot of products at the camp, I think. Because
we're balling out. Everybody's balling this year.
Yeah.
ESN is going to be stuff like crazy.
ESN, REM, for the bar. Come si chiamano?
The RAM.
The RAM.
That thing.
The RAM.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to send us the
Resolute Coffee.
The RAM. Resolute Coffee.
Yes, then sure.
We're going to have a lot of products for the people
for sure.
Here.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be a big party.
So it'll be fun. So appreciate you guys listening and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for having
bye.
Us. Bye.